The numbers in the opioid epidemic can often overwhelm the names. 64,000 people died in the United States in 2016 from abuse of opioid painkillers or substitutes for them. The numbers for last year, not yet compiled, are expected to be higher. What are the circumstances in which people first seek out OxyContin or any of the other painkillers grouped together as opioids? Well, our first guest knows the answer from both sides of the transaction. Dr. Mark Greenberg operates Advanced Pain Care in Ashland. He was also a patient after surgery last year, and his story ended up part of a Wall Street Journal story about pain management. Dr. Mark Greenberg, thanks for joining us today in the exchange.
Thanks for having me.
So Advanced Pain Care is all about taking care of pain. What led you to this particular line of work within medicine?
Well, I was exposed to the concept of chronic pain management as part of my training at UCLA in anesthesiology. And I had a background in internal medicine, and it seemed like a perfect marriage between the procedurally oriented field of anesthesiology with the long-term care of patients with chronic problems in internal medicine. And I just fell in love with the problem.
So we can guess that advanced pain care means you go beyond just here's a pill.
That's my goal. My goal is to try to find treatments that are alternatives to either surgery or use of chronic opioid medications to effectively treat chronic pain.
So what kinds of alternatives? What's usually the first thing out of your toolbox?
Well, that's been the search that I've undertaken over the last 20 or 25 years, because it quickly became my perception that Western medicine had very little to offer in the way of chronic pain. We, as medical doctors, don't really understand what chronic pain is, why people develop chronic pain, and therefore we had very limited resources to treat it. And I've looked into many, many different types of treatment, and I've come up with some tools that I think are very effective and are geared more towards the natural healing systems of the body and avoidance of things like surgery, steroids, and opiate medications.
So when you see this lack you perceive in Western medicine for alternatives, is it because we focus so much on pills, do you think, that is generally our first answer? We want to have an easy answer that's in a small bottle?
Well, it's hard to tell what the cause or effect is. I think that there's been an overuse of pain medications because of frustration that doctors feel because they don't know what the alternatives are. And I don't know whether it's the chicken or the egg, but certainly the two go together.
So do you ever write scripts for opioids? I mean,
Oh, absolutely. I think that there is a role for opiate medications. I think that opiate medications are absolutely effective for acute pain, which is pain from an injury. However, they are ineffective and often dangerous for chronic pain.
Okay, so the difference being that acute pain is something you're feeling right now and probably for a little while longer, but chronic is something you're going to be living with.
Well, it's a complex process. I think that acute pain is a biological phenomenon. It's a biologically useful pain that's a part of our protective mechanism, and we can't live without it. However, chronic pain is not just acute pain that's been around for a long time. It's actually a completely different physiological process. It's a dysfunction within the nervous system, which is completely different for acute pain. And I think that speaks to the danger of using opiates, which are effective for the mechanisms of acute pain and not for chronic pain, which is a different process and, in fact, a disease of the nervous system.
Just for clarity, I know the terms get used interchangeably. Opiates are truly derived from opium, and opioids are synthetic but similar?
That's correct.
Okay, I want to be clear on that. Dr. Mark Greenberg is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His practice is Advanced Pain Care in Ashland, and we're talking about opioids and alternatives to them. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange. You may have many questions for the doctor. 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you yourself ended up as a source for a Wall Street Journal article about opioids, you as patient, not as doctor. What was the situation there?
Well, I've had two surgeries during 2017, two orthopedic procedures. One was on my knee and one was on my shoulder. They're different types of procedures. But what I found being on the other side of the knife, so to speak, was both times I was given prescriptions for opiates, which on at least one of the occasions were out of the range of what our current CDC recommendations for postoperative pain control.
Out of the range in what sense?
Opiate medications, according to the CDC, after surgery should be prescribed for no more than 3 days and maximum under certain rare circumstances for up to 7. I was given a prescription for medications, which I didn't even fill because of the nature of the surgery, didn't need opioid medications. That was for a knee arthroscopy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so fairly, you know, fairly less invasive procedure going with the scope rather than cutting your knee completely open.
Correct.
So was the prescription for longer than 3 to 7 days?
Well, the prescription would be for an amount of opiates that are not realistic expectation for someone to use after a knee scope. It was just a large amount of pain pills.
What kind of I asked this because it recently was aware of the fact that the original recommended dose for OxyContin, for example, was 10 milligrams, but they got up to doses of 180. So were you high on that scale?
This was for oxycodone, and it was a 5-milligram pill, but I was given a prescription for 30 pills, which I didn't even fill. I had a second surgical procedure during the year for shoulder surgery, which is a much more painful procedure, and I think, again, received a prescription for about 50 pills, and I believe over the course of 3 days, I did use some of them. I used about 10, but on both occasions, had I filled both prescriptions, I would have had 50 or 60 extra opioid medication pills sitting in my medicine chest. Now, I'm a responsible user, as most people are, but you know, one of the sources of opioids in the community that have been described are these pills that just sit in the medicine chest and by various means end up on the street or in hands that they shouldn't be. And they are a contributor to the opioid crisis.
So, with the knee surgery in particular, which was just the scoping there, did you think you would use any painkillers for that?
I never filled the prescription.
Okay, but you did for the shoulder, is the point.
I did, correct.
How did the recovery process go on either one of those, particularly for the shoulder, let's go, because that's the one you did take the pain pills
I'm for. Still recovering. I had a few days of pain after the procedure. But, you know, one of the advances in medicine that we've seen over the last few years, we've become aware of pain as a problem postoperatively. We're trying to avoid opiates. And the anesthesia provider gave me a nerve block, which was a continuous infusion of medication that really minimized the pain. So I think I used far less medication than I would have without that technique, which is a relatively new and successful technique for limiting the requirement for opioid medication.
We have had a doctor on here who said that his recommendation would be to stop referring to pain as one of the vital signs to look for. I wonder what you think about that.
You know, I think that the whole opioid crisis and overuse of opioid medications has been concurrent with the attitude of pain being of the undertreatment of pain being a problem and a new awareness of pain as a significant issue, and that fifth vital sign concept, which came out in the mid-1990s, has led doctors to overprescribe medications. Unfortunately, there was very little data and long-term study of the problem that led to that. And we're now paying the consequences for it.
Sam Quinones, who wrote a great book about the opioid epidemic, was in the Valley a couple of years ago, and we visited with him at the time. And he came up with a phrase that has stuck with me ever since, the idea of us having a friction-free life, that we should be able to lubricate our lives in ways in which they just get lived friction-free. And he thinks that opioids are part of that view. And I wonder if you come in somewhere on that spectrum of thought about the fact that we just don't think we should have pain at all.
Well, I think very commonly I'll see patients that are coming in complaining to me about what I call the aches and pains of daily living. I think pain is part of life. I think there are things that can be done to mitigate it. But in our culture, we do tend to look towards a pill in a bottle as a solution, which oftentimes it comes with its own price. I've had the opportunity to speak with physicians who have obtain their training in other countries, for example, in Europe. And this whole concept of an opioid crisis is completely foreign to them because they just don't prescribe these medications. It's not part of their routine practice as it is here. And they have not seen the kinds of problems that we have in this country.
Dr. Mark Greenberg is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He runs a practice in Ashland called Advanced Pain Care, in which he emphasizes things other than opioid prescription drugs for pain management. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions and comments and maybe individual stories, if you got one, are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How did the Wall Street Journal find you?
I've had internet conversations with the journalist who wrote the article, and when he was doing the story, I was on his contact list, and I received a request for stories regarding opiates and surgery, and I wrote him back and said, not only am I a pain physician, but also a patient, and here's my story, and he jumped on that and got in touch with me, and the next thing I know, it was in the Wall Street Journal.
You get to see it from both sides. You're one of several sources in the story. Was there anything that surprised you about the ease with which the liberality of the distribution of the pain pills?
Well, as a pain physician, this is something that we've been aware of for a long time, that opiates are often overprescribed. This was the number one recommendation in the CDC guidelines that came out about 2 years ago, is to limit opiates prescribed this way. And I'm also very aware of the lack of perception and understanding of the differences between treating acute and chronic pain and how the opiates fit into that.
Are you a member of any of those groups of physicians working to cut down on opioid prescriptions, the OPG, for example, which I think is Oregon Pain Management now? It started as the Opioid Prescribers Group.
And it was started by Dr. Jim Shames, and I've been involved in that since the onset, and I'm very aware of the great efforts that they've done in Jackson and Josephine County in terms of educating doctors as to appropriate use of opioid medications.
And do you think the message has gotten out? I mean, in discussions with other physicians, do you hear that they're giving out fewer scripts? I mean, it sounds like in your own particular case, that's not necessarily true.
Perhaps someone didn't get the memo. But yes, I think that they've done a wonderful job. I do see changes happening in our community. One of the changes I see is many, many patients that have been on opioid medications prescribed by others, including family doctors and other surgeons, have been sent to myself and other pain specialists in the community just because there's awareness that it does take some special knowledge, skill, and understanding to deal with these medications.
I wonder, though, with the name of a business like Advanced Pain Care, if you get a lot of phone calls from people who are seeking to see if they might get easy opioid prescriptions from you.
We do, and we are very careful about our monitoring and evaluations to make sure that we're separating out opioid seekers from patients with true medical illnesses that may require opioids, or perhaps I have alternative treatments for.
Well, let's talk about chronic pain, though. What are often is there a most typical case for somebody who comes to you with chronic pain that they're seeking to alleviate?
I would say the most common complaint I see in my practice is either back or neck pain. I also see a great deal of people that have had chronic nerve pain, sports injuries that have persisted, post-surgical injuries as well.
So what are some of the additional things? We talked about some of the stuff you can do already, but then where do you move on from there? I mean, you got some fairly exotic things, it sounds like, and some pretty good technology at your disposal.
Well, exotic and simple. Some of the techniques that I use, use things that are natural substances. For example, I use a lot of dextrose or sugar injections in my practice. I have a technique called perineural injection therapy, which has been my go-to because it's so successful at treating multiple chronic pain issues. And it developed out of a different paradigm for an understanding of what chronic pain is, what parts of the nervous system are injured and create conditions of chronic pain, and how something as simple as sugar can be highly effective at treating it. And it surprises and shocks me every day when I see the success that some of the treatments I can offer have for people that have suffered with chronic pain for years and years.
Is this a fairly recent technique, or is this something that dates back quite a ways in Eastern medicine, perhaps?
Well, I haven't seen this in the Eastern medicine world, but it developed out of prolotherapy, which has been around for 40 or 50 years, and this is sort of an offshoot of that. It was developed by a physician from New Zealand who's been my mentor in this, And he's published quite a few studies on it, and he goes around the world teaching this technique, but it's still relatively unknown. But it's been I've been using it in my practice for the last 6 or 7 years with a high success rate.
Are these all FDA-approved therapies?
The FDA, all the treatments, you know, something like dextrose doesn't require FDA approval.
Because it's sugar.
It's what we would call an off-label use, but it is certainly within the purview of medical practice.
I wonder if how much of an issue you have with people who might want opioids or anything else that would be a pill they could pop and just they'll be done with the pain. How much of the psychic side of things come into play? You know, trying to convince people that, you know, you can do this without the pills, but it's going to take a little more work and a lot more time.
Well, I think that we, as you were alluding to before, we grow up in a society where we always look for simple solutions, and people maybe are not willing to accept some pain as part of their life. And one of the first things I do when I evaluate patients is I make sure that we have realistic expectations. And without establishing that, then we're going to set up for failure. But I think most people are open to the idea of living with some pain. What they don't want is the pain to control their life. And what I look for is to improve function and improve quality of life. That may or may not be possible to completely eliminate pain, but if I can make someone function better and have a better quality of life, I think I've been successful.
Just a few seconds left, Dr. Mark Greenberg. What do you think it'll take to get opioids under control finally in this country?
I think it's going to take an understanding that there are alternatives for chronic pain and getting the word out there that there are other treatments that are successful. And that word is going to have to come from the medical community and spread through education, and our insurance industry is going to have to learn that there are other techniques as well, because many of the ones I use are not, unfortunately, covered by insurance, and that's a problem that we're going to have to deal with.
All right, a lot of approaches to pain care that don't necessarily involve pills. Dr. Mark Greenberg is the proprietor of Advanced Pain Care in Ashland. He's also been a patient in the last year. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.